Just trying to join in with Timmy here. Where are we here? God's sakes, he's everywhere. As soon as I go to Skype, he goes over to... Okay.
Hey, what's up? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, hello, Tim Osmond.
Okay, so hey, we are live right now, Dark Matter Radio, Infinite Plane Radio. And let me go ahead and get a sound check from you. Go ahead and say hello.
Hello, hello, Tim Osmond. How am I sounding?
Looks like loud and clear. So we have people in the chat. So I said as we go through here, they can, you know, ask you questions.
Sure. Which chat are we looking at so I can see?
The chat that I'm looking at is over at, there's so many of them. Which one should I direct you to? I would just direct you to infiniteplanesociety.com right now or darkmatter.radio and then just click the first video link. I'll just drop one for you. I'll give you the link direct. Make it easy for you.
Okay.
But basically, I was just explaining to everyone here how you are now on the Dark Matter Digital Network, and so we're going to have your podcast regularly streaming there.
Thank you.
And then here, I wanted to give you a chance to introduce yourself to the people who haven't listened to you yet, and then we can kind of get them to maybe visit your site and then find out different ways to support what you do. So let's start off with this. What is Fakeologist.com about, and how did you arrive at this?
Well, Fakeologist.com is a site I started about 2012. And it was all about just stumbling down the rabbit hole. I wasn't looking to go down the rabbit hole, but when I started looking into things like the IRS, it led me to all kinds of different places that I didn't even know existed. And the biggest conspiracy that I was semi-interested in was JFK. But I just buying some of the books around that and watching the movie from Oliver Stone led me absolutely nowhere. So I didn't really think there was anywhere to go past that. But once you go down the rabbit hole, you can't get out. And the next thing I looked into was 9/11. And I had no idea there was so much else to the story. Just never occurred to me as a regular person. Just never occurred to me whatsoever that there was way more to the story. And
yeah,
I wonder...
What I'm finding, and this is the part that got me really hooked on this topic of real-time media critique, is that you have the big ones, the JFK, the 9/11, the Roswell, the ones that X-Files talks about. But the more I dig into it, or the more I dug, the more I found that hoaxes are far more commonplace than people would think. It's not just the big ones, but they're far more numerous than people would think.
Yes.
So with that, I was looking at before you got on the call here, we were talking about the plane parts falling from the sky. Have you had a chance to analyze that particular news story?
Well, back in the day, I remember the only one plane part was that engine that crashed through the awning and didn't damage the awning. It was just sitting on the sidewalk. That was the most significant piece that I can remember. But that's just another misdirection to the whole event, obviously, as I've discovered, and I'm sure you've looked into. By the way, I clicked that link, and it comes up 404. I don't know if you have a better...
Oh, okay, yeah, I do, actually. Well, look, this is the thing that got me. I'm looking at the plane.
And it comes up 404.
Okay, got it for you. Got the new link. So I'm looking at this event where these plane parts are falling and they hit a house. And a lot of people have noticed this. It looks like a scene out of Donnie Darko, for one. And then two, it just so happens that there's a show.
So I'm looking at this NBC
called Debris, about stuff falling from the sky. And then, of course, there's another movie called Don't Look Up. So I'm like, wait a minute. We have these big productions coming out about stuff falling from the sky. And now how convenient we have these Boeings with parts falling.
Right. That was never an area that I spent much time in, because it took me about 3 weeks to basically understand that we were looking at a movie. So the individual plot twists in the movie weren't really concerning me. It was the overall that I enjoy. I enjoy the overall manipulation of people and how that works and how amazingly convincing it is and how impenetrable the mind control is around it. And that was the biggest takeaway for me from 9/11 is how pervasive, how complete, and how everlasting PSYOPs can be. And of course, now we're in the world of COVIDia, and we understand as investigators into hoaxes why they are so impossible to break out of for the majority of people that are not awake.
Right. Now, what have you experienced this? Like, I'll send a tweet to somebody and I show them several videos from September the 11th where clearly you don't see any plane hitting the South Tower. You only see that from the mainstream media footage. But I share that with people today and it just bounces off. They don't even process it. And I'm just wondering, like, does the truth even matter? Is it too late? You know, would that have mattered 10 years ago?
I think if we knew about all, if I knew about PSYOPs at the time of 9/11, then it would have been way easier to see through it. And 20 years later, I think it's a distant memory. And it's just not interesting. We have a whole generation that don't even know what 9/11 is. So anyone born at the turn of the century may be slightly interested in what happened the year they were born, but overall, I don't remember much about the year I was born. And of course, our memory doesn't start recording until we're about six, as far as I know. I know people think they remember being two and three, but I don't believe that's true. Therefore, to this generation, 9/11 is ancient history. May as well be talking about Tartaria, even though I don't believe in that either.
Okay, well, here's something that you brought up, something about how impenetrable the illusion is. So there's this master debunker. So this is a guy who reverse engineers things. Like, for example, somebody claims they saw a second sun, and he reverse engineers it and shows how to recreate that effect with your camera. I'm talking about Metabunk. And I saw Metabunk on Twitter today sharing the Mars landing, and they were utterly amazed. And I'm just like, I can't even admire the faith. I just don't understand the lack of skepticism when it comes to these things that look to me like video games.
Right.
So is it possible for a person like that who can clearly disarticulate most conspiracies to just be selectively ignorant? Does he have to be in on it? Or
no, he's got to be an employed misdirection agent, I think. There's just no way you can go halfway with looking into things that aren't as they appear to be. There's just no way. Unless you look quickly and then look away and stop researching, there's just no way. You can't go all the way down the rabbit hole if you're a thinking person, as far as I'm concerned. So
right. Yeah, that's always been incongruent. How can you see through something as complex as the moon landing and then not go any further on something else, or worse, backtrack on it somehow, like Joe Rogan famously did? It's like, how can you even do that and be honest with yourself?
Yeah, so it's not possible. If you just look into something for 2 weeks and then stop researching, I can see how you might not get to the end of the hole. But if this is what you do for a living, then there's just no way. It would be like being deep into politics. And even if you were deep into politics, you'd see through it quite quickly for what it is. And you would see that the average person is not really deep into politics either. They have some surface knowledge, but they, unless you are a politician and you go see how the system works by being in the system and as an assistant or as a candidate, then that's when you see what's happening for real. But if you're standing on the outside looking in, of course, you're not going to understand. Even Dr. Shiva Adurai, who I really like, I think he's real. He tried to become the Republican candidate for Senate in Massachusetts, and when he lost that candidacy through electronic voting, and he's a mathematician who sees system patterns, he right away understood how and why he was not going to get into the system, because he was too much of an outsider that couldn't, and was too smart to be reprogrammed into the system. And the system is what runs everything. It just reprograms whoever moves into it. So now he,
you
now
use the word, mm-hmm. the word movie you use. So you're saying system, is that word similar to my use of the word meta script or scripting?
Well, maybe the politics is a system, and the system is more important than any individual person that comes into it. And the system just takes people and crushes them if they're out of line, or they're not going to move down the sausage machine. They just get discarded. I think the system is very powerful.
Yes. You know, I was blown away by the fact that after the thing at the Capitol, I jokingly said, these histrionic Democrats are going to call it the next 9/11, even though it just looked like a frat party. And sure enough, they're comparing it to 9/11, and they want a 9/11 commission on the thing. And I'm like, wait, are you telling me that the world is literally governed by theater?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or very poorly acted performance art pieces. And
yes.
Yeah, it's true. It's sad, but it's true.
It's governed by myths. That's how you do it. And I'm sure they took a long time over the course of history to figure it out. But yeah, we're governed by myths. And make sure they're myths that people can believe in, and make sure they're not too complicated. And that's how the world works. Create some,
so in your opinion, is QAnon a myth machine that involves the believers? Or do you think there's any seed of reality to this so-called intel leak?
No, I think it's part of the myth machine, because it's very attractive. Almost none of it ever comes true, as far as I can tell. I didn't really know about it. I didn't follow it right away. But as you talked about it, that's probably the only way I really found out about it. And it's very enticing. I found a couple blogs that were talking about the different QAnon pieces. And of course, it's still ongoing today. But I think it's just more misdirection from what's going on today. Just like I think the COVIDs is a massive misdirection as they reset the economy and just, I believe, come out of bankruptcy for the fourth time in American history. I believe that's what's happening now. So it's just a giant myth. It's the biggest myth in the history of the world, because they've never had total spectrum dominance of the world's media in such a concentrated form. And that's why the whole world is under the hypnosis right now. And it's so powerful, and there's nowhere to run.
Yes, that's the thing. There is nowhere to run, because its enforcement is through the believers. It's a radicalizing cult, hypermediation. And no, there is no escape. It's like, well, you can't even go to the store without covering your face, without alerting one of the programmed Hive members.
Oh yeah.
So that's
the enforcers are everywhere. That's the danger. I'm more afraid of the mob than anybody else. I'm not afraid of the police. I think that the COVIDians, I guess it's COVIDians, the branch COVIDians, they're the most dangerous of all. You're likely to get whacked over the head by a COVIDiot who thinks that you're going to kill them if you breathe on them. So that to me is very dangerous.
Oh yes, it is dangerous. How self-sacrificial they are, and that's how cult members are. I've seen this with many mass cult members and mobs, but just the idea that they've sacrificed their interests, their lives, their faces, and now they expect you to as well. They can't have any untransformed person, and it reminds me of The Last Man on Earth, one of the first zombie apocalypse books, and it's based on, well, it's the movie based on the book I Am Legend, where it's like, he's the last one, and they're trying to get him to convert to the cult. And I'm like, this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous, to be honest with you, being a non-believer at this point.
Good way of describing it, non-believers. Non-believers, you're the sinner, you're a reprobate, possibly even an apostate. Like, you know the science, but you reject it, so that means you're not even savable.
Yeah, we're apostasy as the John LeBon show is so labeled on your site.
Oh yes, and that's what this really is. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he took that term apostasy because I'm trying to get all of the mass media apostates on this network, people to listen and.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Really, otherwise we get drowned out by all the sheep by the yeah. monotony. Now, what's your take on vaxophobia? Are you, I mean, I know it's not sensible necessarily to just trust somebody on TV with your life, but do you think that the people are actually dying from vaccines as reported in the Twitter sphere?
Yeah, I tend to give that, I tend to label that atrocity propaganda. And it's hard to decode why you would spread atrocity propaganda. But I don't think it's much different from the one Chinese guy that we saw dying, falling over flat on his face, but he put his hands out first, I believe, on the way down. But I think all propaganda is just to promote a myth. And I think, as I posted as a banner on fakeologist.com, the vaccine, I believe there's three parts of the... I think there's a triage of parts to this psyop. There's the vaccine that will never come, the successful vaccine that will never come. That's the carrot. So that's what we're constantly being led to. If we can just get to the vaccine that saves us all, then everything will go back to normal. So in behind the chasing the donkey is, of course, COVID. COVID, the mutant, the variants, the mutant variants, the variant mutants, whatever they want to call them, those are what's chasing us from behind. And I guess maybe the third part could be the quarantine camps. That's the other super fear center that we have that in Canada right now. That's definitely, I don't think it's made it to the U.S. yet. You have a lot farther to go because of your noncompliance and your decentralization. But the quarantines are a big fear factor here, where you are channeled into these hotels that are repurposed as COVID camps. So those three things are the fear factor that keep this moving along. And that those three things will keep working as long as people keep believing. Now, I don't know how much longer people are going to believe. I don't know how, could it go on for years? It's certainly possible. It's certainly possible, right. But I'm not really sure. It's never been done before, I don't think, really.
We're in uncharted water here because I think the limiting factor for a lot of things, a lot of their agendas, is disbelief. Mm-hmm. And if they have us convinced we can go to Mars in 2026, it'll happen. And if they can keep enough believers convinced that the devil's loose, they will keep everybody masked and it'll just get worse. So I think it's really a war. That's why I don't have hopes of like some mass awakening, but I'd like the idea that there's enough people who aren't totally warped that we can at least have some semblance of an attachment to reality. But if the masses are in a constant state of panic, you know, maybe we are going to be basically, it's like Munchausen syndrome by proxy,
mm-hmm.
You know, where the WHO has basically faked an illness in order to take control over us and gain sympathy and money and power.
Yeah, one of the more powerful themes or branches of this psyop is the asymptomatic super spreader. That's a very powerful element that is really hard to disprove or prove. So if you just take it on face value, that means we're all activated.
Yes, that one's a good one because what they've done with the asymptomatic super spreader is they've made it so that the healthier you are, the more of a threat you are. I mean, yeah. That's so damn Orwellian, isn't it?
Yeah, I've not really heard that aspect of it. That is one thing that's never happened in the history of the world, that a healthy person with no symptoms is dangerous. that's such an inversion of reality that the idea that anyone can believe that is insane. And actually, that is one thing they haven't written into law here, is that if you, in our own Quarantine Act, which is a federal act in Canada, if you present yourself asymptomatic, then they can't quarantine you. You have to show signs of sickness from the head up, or the shoulder up, rather, for them to be able to detain you. And so if you walk off the plane without a cough, a sneeze, a fever, or a sniffle, you're free to go. And most Canadians here don't know that. I really didn't know that either, because they don't make that clear. But if you read the Quarantine Act, and I'm sure most people don't have a copy of it in their pocket, but if you understand it before you get on the plane, then you'll be able to escape prison, COVID prison. So that's recent research that I found out and posted on my blog, fakeologist.com/blog.
Good to know. Anything that can liberate us from these constraints that are mostly just with your compliance, your ignorant compliance. Mm-hmm. That's why last year when they started the quarantines, I started disseminating press passes. So anybody who calls in is a member of the Infinite Plane Radio as a field correspondent. You have a press pass. Well, now you're essential and you don't have to obey the lockdowns. So we weren't locked down. We refused to participate as much as possible in any of their insane rules. Mm-hmm. And what do you think about their new testing sites where they want to, you know, the new testing method? Is that just humiliation?
Are you talking about the anal swabs? Or they're still sticking, they're still inserting Q-tips up people's noses here, as far as I am aware. Now, I'm not sure how far up. I've heard that they don't stick them up right to the brain blood barrier anymore. I don't think they make the turn at the top of your nasal cavity. I think they're only going up an inch, but I'm not sure. But they're all penetration is a form of rape as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think so too. I think what we're looking at, it's a power thing. It's mm-hmm. submission.
Yeah.
Psychological submission. It's being violated by the state. And I think it's a power move more than anything. It's all symbolic, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is like 1984. You had ignorance is strength, freedom is slavery. We can add to that, healthy is sick.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's excellent. We have to do that. Mm-hmm. I should actually print them out on some of my labels. There's a Telegram group called the White Rose, where you can get instructions and some templates on printing out labels on a cheap thermal label printer where you just have to buy the paper. You don't have to worry about ink. And actually, that would be a good slogan to add. We have to create three. Slogans always work well in threes. That's how the mind works, apparently, in threes. But we have to, that could be one great one. And add two more and you'd have a good label to print out and disseminate around any surface where people go.
And, you know, people probably wouldn't even get the irony of it, which is so sad. I mean, they're so spellbound, and it is true though. Like, I watched this bit of Superman predictive programming. I think it was from like the 2005 Superman, where they have to quarantine him because he's an alien. And mm-hmm. he says, I've been running around for 33 years. I haven't been sick. I haven't got anybody sick. And they said, yet. So, again, yeah. Getting...
We're all pre-sick, aren't we?
Oh, and if you're Superman, then you're super healthy, which means you're super sick, because now you can spread it to more people.
Yeah, that's true. I don't watch many movies, so... And I definitely don't watch comic book movies, which are all the rage now, but... I do watch a couple movies you recommend for PSYOP purposes, like The Village, even though it's not a great movie, but I like looking at the themes that you point out.
Yeah, I feel bad recommending a lot of movies, because movies that I thought were good 10 years ago, I think are unwatchable, garbage, trash. Entertainment is just a side effect of the brainwashing. So I'm not impressed by any of the movies. My consumption of movies is limited to bits of predictive programming and scripting that people send me. I can rarely immerse myself in anything anymore, because you know what they're doing is they're hypnotizing you and they're flooding you with concepts and ideas.
Yes. Yes, it's definitely a form of propaganda disguised as a story, for sure.
But the comic books serve to keep things in a very basic and simplistic way. Like, note how simplistic and comic booky the QAnon story is. The white hats versus the black hats. The bad guys drink blood. The white guys are going to beat them. It's very much, you know, it's, I think it's to keep certain archetypes out there that they play on. And that's why the adults are all watching movies like The Joker. Mm-hmm. And Batman. It's like, these are children's concepts, but and a commenter here remarks that these movies are meant to keep adults mentally immature. I
absolutely
agree with that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, maybe we have such a society of arrested development that that's why 2020, even though it coincides with the bankruptcy, was just a good year to pull the trigger. Some people speculate this was brought forward a few years, but I don't know if you could just bring it forward a few years.
Well, when I saw the Proud Boys versus the Soy Boys, I'm like, okay, that says it all. The extreme fringe on each side are labeling themselves as children. Mm-hmm. So they have daddy government, and then they have the bad, you know, they have the Soy Boy versus the Proud Boys. Both of them are trying to find a way. They both want their father figure to rule. They want their particular side, but basically they're clamoring for a leader, a strong leader. And I'm like, well, that's great. You know, it's a political cult on both sides, and it's very immature. What we saw this summer, the lawlessness, the lack of accountability, mm-hmm. It was absurd.
Yeah, that's true. I'm seeing someone asked a question on Minarch Fate. Minarchal Fate asked my perspective on the Mars space travel. I honestly am not paying attention. I don't pay attention to anything from NASA because it's just too poorly done cartoon. And if they say they're going to Mars for the millionth time, I usually just ignore it. I'm too concerned now about just my immediate future, financial and otherwise, in COVIDia, where we live now, COVIDia. So the Mars distraction is so minor for me. I won't even waste 5 minutes, although every now and then there's a pretty good video that shows how they made the Matt Damon movie where he went to Mars. It just shows where they could have filmed it, that kind of thing, but how they did the coloring, and that's probably more superior to anything that NASA is creating.
Sure, and that's a topic I cover often, is how NASA looks very bad compared to the entertainment, and it seems like they can't really move forward in space until they bring down their ridiculously fake-looking production they call the space station. But mm-hmm. I understand. It's like you have this drama going on out there, misdirection. Meanwhile, they're using the false cover of supposed pandemic. They're using that as a cover for changing everything radically and everything. Like even, I think getting rid of gendered terms, I don't care about people's whatever. But the issue is here, how difficult will it be to describe your life in context, your family, your extended family, your relationships, if you get rid of uncle, aunt, brother, sister, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're taking away the lexicon.
Yeah, well, I think, when did we last talk about what is going on? Was it, what is this, February now? I think we talked last maybe November about my predictions about what this COVIDia is all about.
Yes, maybe. Yes. It was a little bit before that, but sure. We had talked then about this, and that was when I think it was pre-vax, though, before the vax actually came out. And mm-hmm. So far, though, have your predictions more or less come true? Do you feel like you've been vindicated?
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't really seen anything to change my mind on anything. I really didn't know how the election was going to go. I didn't really know how they were going to use that as a wedge, but now it's a little more clear that it was clear that Trump, just by what they represented in the media, was a runaway train, and the fact that they reversed it at the late hours of the evening that was obviously very telling, and it was supposed to be in your face. And now we have this old guy running around that looks very strange, this old president creating executive order after executive order and just really trying to bring some of these really weak narratives as to what should be done with COVID. I don't know how much traction it's getting in the U.S. because every state is different, but yeah, nothing. I was just a little surprised at how it played out. The insurrection PSYOP I thought was pretty weak, but I didn't really realize they were going to use that as a 9/11 because it was such a poor LARPing event.
Right. I mean, couldn't they have done a Boston bombing? There weren't any, there was no atrocity there. So it looked maybe offensive. It looked rude. But to equate that with, and then to use that to say, oh, well, now we can't question the election. It's like, that doesn't even follow.
Yeah. 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 I thought it was not well done. I thought it was poorly done. And there's a pretty good video deconstruction on the screen, on the frame by frame of the Capitol insurrection inside, where they put that phony doorway with windows. I didn't even realize that was just a big prop. I didn't, obviously I've never been in the Capitol hallway there, but apparently that was just a prop they dragged in and did the whole ritual, the whole LARP right there.
Okay. Plus, see, I just noticed that there were more photographers than rioters. There were so many photographers, and so many of the shots that we see, the iconic shots of the individual with the buffalo horns who represents all Trump voters all of a sudden, every single image with him was staged. He was posing for the pictures. Yeah. So they try to make it look like Braveheart, but it just simply wasn't. And I'm just aghast at how this is good enough to change the world. So,
yeah, I agree. I thought it was really weak. And there's no evidence that that was... those pictures came from that day. They could have done that any day of the week, the year before, like every, like any other film set. It could have easily been created much earlier for it to get that one iconic shot right away in front of the media. So,
in fact, there was someone who actually found a timestamp photo that showed that one of those shots was actually done like 20 minutes before Trump's speech was over. So that's the case. And then if you look at the people who died that day, there was one Trumper, she had the Gadsden flag, "Don't tread on me," and she got trampled on to death.
All right.
Then you had the guy who tased himself in his own genitals. And I don't know what his last name was. I should check, but these things seem like fictions meant to entertain the left and to make the right look like a bunch of goons who got what they deserved.
Yeah, for that to be a pivot point and a narrative to carry through 2021, at least up until now, they seem like minor events, but they've latched onto it like a dog on a bone.
So where do you focus now when you're watching the world stage or analyzing things? So the main thing you're looking at now, is it mostly the obvious statist, eco-fascist takeover, the Agenda 2030 thing? Is that where your focus is? Or it seems like the media is just mostly COVID has replaced all the massacres and shootings.
Well, I'm in Canada, so I'm really worried about where I live more than anything. I think everyone should focus on where they live. I don't really focus too much on the big narrative in the U.S. I get most of my U.S. information from the No Agenda show, which I like. Even though they're not pure fakeologists, they have enough skepticism to make their media deconstruction interesting because they focus on mainstream stories, less esoterica. But as for Canada, I just really like to promote and watch the people I think are real that are fighting our system based on real laws that we can use to just try and explain that we don't have to go along with these orders, directives, mandates, whatever non-laws you want to describe them as. That's what I've been focusing on lately, just more people that I can highlight that are being really pointing out the loopholes in the system that anyone can exploit and live by. Because I don't know where you guys are in various states in the PSYOP, but Canada is definitely being the Australia of North America, where they, at least one of the states in Australia, Victoria, was really moved forward with the PSYOP, with the lockdowns and the quarantine camps and the incredible travel restrictions. That's what I focus on more than anything, to be honest with you. Just looking at
No, I get it. I mean, after the lockdown started, it's like, okay, well, now they have the power to draft us onto the world stage and influence us. We're no longer impartial observers. We've been involved. And so that changed a lot of my priorities. And I was astounded that some people are still chasing Mandela effects, among other things.
Yeah, so irrelevant today. Like, we're getting so close to COVID passes and just not being able to get into stores. We know we can. You can still get on an airplane if they're flying, but most of our planes have been canceled. We can't go to the south. So, yeah, all these old ideas, like looking at NASA, debating Mandela, to me, they're totally irrelevant. We are really on the cusp of a massive currency restructuring, asset restructuring, the COVID pass. The people still believe that the vaccine is the savior, even though the narrative is explicit. It says nothing regarding freedom of movement or masking is going to change with any vaccination. So I don't understand why people still long for that magic bullet, because they've already been told explicitly it won't change anything. So what more do you need to just get off the idea that the vaccine? I'm more worried about being able to go to the grocery store without proof of vaccination or continuing my job. To me, that's a more immediate threat than anything. That's your livelihood.
And they're also using this to attack the First Amendment, to attack the free flow of ideas. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how when you commit a genocide, you wipe everybody out, and then you destroy their culture, you burn their books, you make sure that nothing gets passed on. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're doing it in reverse order, where they're destroying the cultures they don't like, the ideas they don't like, they're silencing the voices they don't want included. So it's a very destructive thing that's going on right now, mm-hmm. with how ideas are being treated. And last year I said my focus was shifting from fake news to fake science, because mm-hmm. people have faith in the news media. Look what that's done. But their faith in the science is so much worse. And my focus on the space stuff is mostly the agenda that I see coming, which is space wars, mm-hmm. falling debris, and being able to adequately deconstruct that, which it might be too late for most people. If they see it on TV, it's real.
Yeah, the other narrative was the domestic terrorism that was sort of born out of the Capitol, what they call the Capitol insurrection. That was a narrative that I don't know if it's still playing down there. Don't really hear that here up here in Canada, but the domestic terrorist, who's anybody that was in the Washington area, they say they could track them by their phone or by their transactions, or if they booked a hotel in the area. They pushed that fear factor really hard, but I don't know if it's still part of the narrative right now.
Right. Well, they did. After the Capitol riots, they actually made a big show of rounding up these individuals at their homes, and Jimmy Kimmel excoriated them on the news. Mm-hmm. It looked like it was all for show. It might have been real, but I don't think any of those rioters we saw on TV that spoke to the media were authentic. The whole thing is, it doesn't take more than 5 minutes to see how fake it was. But mm-hmm. for the most part, I think we were just served a movie production meant to disrupt this idea that the votes ought to be reexamined. Mm-hmm. And of course, like you mentioned earlier, it was an in-your-face steal. Mm-hmm. I'm perfectly comfortable saying that's what it was. And it was intentional.
Yeah, I think that was, they wanted to create an everlasting divide. We all know that there's always a left-right 50-50 split, pretty much in the U.S., but they wanted to make, I guess, accentuate it or exaggerate it and create this whole right side that's completely disaffected. And I don't know if it's still persisting right now, at the end of February right now. I think, as you said, the attention span is so short that it's really hard to, they know that any narrative has only got a couple days, and then if they don't replace it or reinvigorate it or reimagine it, then it's just going to peter out. So the domestic terrorist could be yesterday's news already. Maybe it already is. I don't know. Outside the Texas electrical grid water system meltdown, I don't know what's current today.
Well, you know, I've been following trends in the media and who they're isolating as, you know, threats to the system. You know, conspiracy theorists is the term. They use conspiracist. If you spell it, it's conspir, R-A-C-I-S-T. I think that's on purpose.
Yeah.
But now they're putting a target on yoga instructors.
Wow.
Saying that yoga instructors already have a conspiratorial mindset, since they think that everything is connected and we're in a spiritual war against the world. So I find that to be interesting, because the yoga instructor, there's one in Canada, his name is Matt. Anyway, he's a yoga instructor who violated
Matt, like a yoga mat?
I haven't even thought about that. Yeah. Matt, like a yoga mat.
Yeah.
Violated quarantine, and I don't know what he's being hit with, what he's being charged with violating the Quarantine Act, but I was like, the state must have it out for anybody, you know, dojos, gyms, yoga instructors. I've seen that a lot of those businesses were specifically targeted.
I have not heard that. I have not heard that. So what is the state of lockdown in New Mexico? I think you're in New Mexico.
You know, this is my problem. I haven't been paying enough attention to know what it is. So I could be in complete violation. I just do the minimum I have to do to get by. But, you know, walking around, I don't see it. I just don't. But I haven't driven around very much. So it just seems like, I kind of think the spell is breaking and there's not enough reinforcement because nobody's going to the malls anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have confidence that this thing sticks in a serious way after April or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, April's when they could theoretically relax it, because it's warmer out. And in general, people are more active, they're more exposed to the sun. So if they are not well, then the sun usually cures most people. And they're out of their boxes, their houses, where we have heat that dries us out like prunes and causes other symptoms of illness. But
wait, they'll say it's COVID. Like COVID will cause your skin to turn red if you're in the sun too long.
Mm.
Hey, I found the article. It's from the BBC. Does yoga have a conspiracy problem? So 3 days ago. And this article is just saying that people who get into yoga are trained in conspiratorial thinking and that they're always going to be anti-vax. So I'm just like, wow, I thought the people doing yoga would have been above reproach.
Well, I think the idea about yoga is you have a better understanding of your body, so therefore you're not into injectables. You're not into the normal pharmacological way of thinking, the allopathic thinking. I think you're connected to breathing and relaxing and just maybe using some of your body's own healing powers by accentuating them, and therefore you are probably in a different way of thinking. You're not in the pharmacological mindset. Don't forget, I think we are in the largest marketing campaign in the history of the world to save the injectable industry, which I believe the vaccine industry was failing in many ways, and they needed to recharge it, reinvigorate it, reimagine it, and essentially force the product, if you can imagine being forced any product on yourself in any, from any field, onto people. But my idea is anyone that does not promote or fall in line with the vaccine agenda is conspiratorial. And so if you're a yoga person, you're more aware of what makes you ill or what makes your body express illness, because I don't think I don't think we acquire illness. I think we express it based on deficiencies, which is a lot different from the narrative they want to promote of contagion. Because I do believe that contagion is a myth. It's hard to disseminate. It's hard to distinguish between contagion and common environmental effects, where we're all exposed to the same water or the same air. Because if we're all exhibiting symptoms and we're all in the same area, one could link it to, one could say it's either contagion or we're all expressing the same reaction to our environment. And I think the expression or the same reaction to an environment is much more sensible than me passing something I have on to you. So they have right. they have to change that mindset if you believe that. And that's the germ versus terrain theory as well. Is there anything I can pass on to you to make you sick? And I think the answer is no. And if you have that thought in your mind, they have to eliminate it, because that implies that you don't need anything external to repair the external to internal damage that they say is contagion.
Well, my concept of the virus, and I agree with what you're saying, cause mm-hmm. I think the virus is more or less a modern replacement for sin mm-hmm. as a universal pretext for the priests to regulate the masses. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting here, too, that the yogis are, the people practicing yoga are breathing the same air. And the word conspiracy, breathe together. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who are literally doing this now forbidden act of sharing the same air. And you said something about the vax business failing. That motive there, profit motive, greed, that makes much more sense to me than a bowl of underheated bat soup starting a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've gone from bats to they're combining so many agendas in this magic virus. It is astonishing to me. For instance, one of the themes they want to roll into this, I think they want to get rid of pet ownership. They want to get rid of using animals as food. We know that. They want to get rid of animals using animal products for anything, including mink fur coats, which apparently are very hot in China. So they attach the sinful COVID virus to any of their ideas, any of the things they want to change or get rid of. They want to get rid of pets. You won't be able to own a pet, I believe, in the new Agenda 2030 world.
Wow. See, that's Agenda 2030 stuff, and if they mm-hmm. can use the virus to force that in, they will. Mm-hmm. And I've seen these statements made where they'll say, well, your little pet has a bigger carbon footprint than your SUV because its diet requires this, yeah. this many. It's like, okay. So you're right. It's a new form of labeling things taboo, mm-hmm. sin, blasphemy. These people are sinners. And if you're vaxxed, you're saved.
Mm-hmm. And if your pet's vaxxed, it's saved for a while until you have to get the booster shot. Yeah, it's the magic virus. I said it at the time that any industry that wanted to make a change and they didn't have a mechanism to do so, they would have to adopt the COVID model where they could just blame whatever the issue is to get from A to B on COVID and just use that as the catalyst. And it works everywhere. It's just, it's magic. It's magic. Whoever thought they could convince people to stop flying anywhere? It's the climate hoax didn't work. And now they have a really great excuse.
Right. March 13th or so, like last year, right after this thing was declared a pandemic, RT put out an article that said, COVID is doing Greta's work. Mm-hmm. And it is like magic. It's literally magic in the way that they're just transforming the world all around us. I heard Bill Gates talking about getting us on synthetic meat while he figures out how to black out the sky, because the lack of economic activity means less pollution, so the world's heating up. So it's like we quit our jobs and we stopped using so much, which should cool the planet, but they said no, the planet's heating because there's less particulates in the air.
I heard that. You said that. I thought that was amazing. So they created a problem, and now they need another solution, a better solution. So instead of just getting everyone flying again, now he's going to fly around and cover the sky with his whatever he uses for weather management. That was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm like astounded that these ideas aren't just instantly shot down. So I look at him as just a character in this world stage movie. By the way, I got a comment in here that says Fakeologist is an original conspiracy gangsta. when did you start really breaking down the media and publishing it online?
It was 2012. 2012, I used the word fakeologist because I wanted to create a word that required a little investigation. I didn't want to just be a conspiracy theorist. So Fakeologist was the investigation into media fakery, because 9/11 was, to me, one of the best media fakery events, where they portrayed planes flying into towers as real. So that, to me, was media fakery. The media was required to sell the story, and it was just like a movie where they bring in the media to have fake reporters. That's what the leading media anchors, who were the most important people at the time, like Dan Rather, Peter Jennings, Aaron, whatever his name is for CNN. I forgot his last name right now. They brought him in at the time just for the 9/11 event, which was a 4 or 5 year event. And then they got rid of him. Aaron Brown, that was the name I remember on CNN. And therefore, that's why I created the word fakeologist. Now, of course, Donald Trump came along in 2016, and he co-opted the word fake to meaning anything he disagreed with. Now, he was right in a sense that the media is fake, promoting fake stories, but he never explained it, even though he was the one person for years that said there was more to the 9/11 story, and maybe he would get to the bottom of it if he became president, which of course he didn't do. But
Great point. He hijacked that term. He stole the word fake.
Yeah.
So fake news, and I remember when fake news was being thrown out there, and I even saw some alternative media talking heads like Paul Joseph Watson from InfoWars. He banned me from a live chat for calling the Nice attack fake. Mm-hmm. And so the way they use fake is it means a bias, a partisan bias, a political agenda. And when you say fake, you mean, no, this is atrocity propaganda. This mm-hmm. is theater. This is soap opera presented as real. We're being governed by a reality TV show.
Mm-hmm. LARPing is a good word. I like live action role players. It's all these major events are LARPing events with crisis actors. And we're ruled by myths.
I got a couple of questions for you from the mm-hmm. audience. Hoaxahunt just wants to know, what are your thoughts about the 2012 Mayan prophecy? And so prophecies in general, does the world end?
Yeah, I think the world's always about to end. I didn't give too much thought to the 2012 Mayan prophecy. I'm not even sure what it is. Yeah, I guess the world ending. And as you said, the ongoing asteroid story, where we're going to get hit by an asteroid, and of course at the last minute it just misses us. To me, that's just a constant, never-ending end of the world, just hang on to your ankles idea that happens, is recreated every single year, maybe a couple times a year. I don't give it any thought.
Right. I call these rolling prophecies. That's a term I've
come
across.
Yeah, that's good.
I
mean, very good.
Roll it forward, and you can laugh at QAnons for being part of a rolling prophecy, but I'm sorry, but climate change is one too.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a few minutes here. Let's go ahead and so if people want to support what you're doing, and listen to you. One, they can go to darkmatter.radio and I'll have a schedule so they can listen to your podcast. But where do you generally direct people? What social media do you favor, et cetera?
Well, I think the best social media is the old-fashioned website, the thing that where you could have your own space on the internet. And I still think it's really important, even though it's actually hard. Social media has made it difficult to get people to realize they have this thing called a browser where they can directly go to anyone they want anywhere in the world on the internet and not go through a third-party mediator. So I have fakeologist.com. The main page is now, I turned it back at the beginning of 311, which I know you like to call the beginning of the pandemic, characterized as the pandemic of COVIDian world, 311. So at that time, I changed my entry page to a filter page because I knew people were going to be possibly coming to my page. So that's a page that says, if you believe in COVID and you believe in the virus, then just you can stop clicking and go away. You don't want to proceed. When you go to that site, you click one more link and you'll get eventually to my main page, fakeologist.com/blog, which you should bookmark. That's another term most people don't know anymore. You can actually create a bookmark and save all the places that you like. That way you can get all the material. The other thing I did in the last half of last year is create a video server called fakotube.com. And that's where I archive my favorite videos that I think are at risk from being deleted from the normal sites that people go to, like YouTube, Instagram. And I try and save the ones that I think are on message as I see the world. So I put stuff there. And I have a few select people that I allow to upload. I can't let the whole world upload because I only have so much money and so much space. I'm not Google, so I try and, in general, restrict uploads to just a few people. I will let a couple people live stream because it has a live streaming service, because I don't want to waste time setting up a million accounts at YouTube, because you know that the minute we use the COVID word, that is going to get us censored. So I don't want to waste energy because there's not enough time in the day to recreate accounts. So I concentrated on FakeoTube. So those are my two primary sites. And the other thing I'm focusing on and spending research time into is cryptocurrencies, because from what I'm hearing from different content creators, now we're getting banks and payment institutions like PayPal, they're starting the censoring as well and gatekeeping for the controllers. And that's a really dangerous precedent, where if they cut off your financial or blood supply, that's really going to put a crimp in people's opposition or criticism.
Yes, DLive is one of the channels that I've been on. I accrued about 2,200 subs since last year. Even though I've been qualified for a year plus by their standards, they've denied me partner status. And I started making fun of them the other day because after the Capitol riots, they demonetized my channel because they say I engage in political speech. And I'm thinking, they support video gamers, and video games are all political because it's all propaganda.
Yeah.
So, they took away the monetization, which, you know, if you have a 24-hour stream and you're monetized on a channel like that, that could cover your electric bill, your rent bill. So it's a very real power they have to control you by saying, well, if you speak these particular syllables in this order, we take away your money. And we're dealing with digital book burning and, you know, digital content creation burn. It's a book burning. It's a destruction of culture. So I'm glad that you're preserving it over there at FakeoTube.
Yeah, and you really do need to explore the new financial roads that are being created. Now, I don't know if the cryptocurrencies are just the banks creating their own controlled opposition. That's certainly a possibility. But at the moment, I believe currency and money systems are at the same place that the internet was about 35 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been that long. So I believe the World Wide Web, the graphical interface, was in the early 90s. I don't remember the day I switched from bulletin board services to a graphical Netscape browser, but I think it was in the mid or early 90s. And that decentralization of information, where you didn't have to go to the TV, you didn't have to go to your newspaper, your national newspaper, your local newspaper, to get information, was extremely powerful. And one of the things they used to try and re-centralize the internet was create these free platforms like YouTube and Twitter, where they reconcentrated and re-centralized information so they could gatekeep and control it. We have to realize, so with currency, they're now at the same stage where they have we have the tools to decentralize currency, where we can not be gatekept in the financial sense by the big banks, the central banks. And that's why I encourage people, if they go to fakeologist.com/donate, I don't like PayPal. I know, again, PayPal was another re-centralization of payments, and they're gatekeeping as well and deplatforming people. Same with Patreon, same with all these services that we actually do not need. So I'm encouraging people, if they want to support my work, go figure out how to buy a Bitcoin. It's not hard, or a similar Litecoin. You can buy different, you can get any currency you want, and I'll give you any wallet you want. But for the most part, I would like to concentrate on Bitcoin and Monero based on my own research. But I've created links to Coinbase, which is a currency exchange where you can take your Visa, your credit card, or your fiat currency and switch it into digital currency and send me donations anonymously, because crypto is pretty much anonymous. I don't know who you are, and I don't need to know who you are. And no gatekeeper can know who you are. So that is...
Yeah, and on that, anything that you subsidize, you get more of. And anything that you penalize, you get less of. And so it is important. I put a link in there, fakeologist.com/donate. Because I know how it is with this where we're in, where yes, your money's threatened by the content that you choose to create. So if you want, or if people want to hear it, they have to support it. Because I got demonetized on DLive, and most of what I say here is innocuous. YouTube long ago decided that they didn't want me to make any money off their site.
Yeah, but you're obviously speaking truth, even though it's not, you're not attacking the narrative, but you are exposing the narrative, and you're not, and you're doing it in a very intellectual way. But obviously someone is listening that doesn't like what you're saying. So if you are being deplatformed, then you know that you are over the target. And I don't think you should waste your time with these other channels. If you can use them as fishing holes where you can fish people over to your own servers and your own form of monetization, which I think it is very important to support all content creators directly without gatekeepers, without central servers. So I think you should also figure out how to get people to donate through crypto, because I see it as the future. And most people in the centralized servers before the World Wide Web, if you are old enough, you can remember the Source, Prodigy, CompuServe, AOL. They were all laughing at the World Wide Web because they thought their central servers, with their simplicity, were going to be where people end up, and that was going to be the network. But of course, that's not how it turned out, because decentralization and allowing ungatekept creative forces is always going to win in the end, which is why free enterprise is always going to work better than centralized communism, which is where the world is headed. I am also convinced, and we haven't really talked about this, that the China model is where the Western world is going to be taken to, unless people wake up to see what's happening. And that is what the goal is. The COVID narrative is the distraction.
I agree. I think there's a major shift that's happened culturally. The mobs are being weaponized against the individual. If you show your face, now you stand out and you're at the mercy of the mob that has the power of state behind it. They have people snitching on each other. The snitching last year was just off the charts, where cities had to open up numbers like 311 for neighbors snitching on their neighbors for violating these rules. And all of this stuff is very anti-American, very anti-individualistic. Killing free speech because it might offend somebody, shutting down somebody's business. So, yes, it does appear
that's
to be
all the Chinese model. It's all a one-party dictatorship, censorship model. I have lots of people. I occasionally look on my statistics to see where people come from. Nobody is coming from China. Now, I know most people in China will use VPNs, and most likely U.S. VPNs, to come to my site. So I don't know that they're not from the U.S. and are from China. But obviously, China is heavily censored, and I'm pretty sure you can still use a few methods to get out of China and see the World Wide Web. But yeah, we don't want to become that system. And people are, if they bring us into the China model while people aren't paying attention, and then it's too late to go back, that'll be too bad. That's sort of what we have to expose.
Yes. Yes. And I do on my channel, what I think we're doing here in the chat also is it's parsing the media narratives, analyzing the news objectively, and just describing things as they are. Mm-hmm. So we're not surprised by any of this. I'm not surprised by where this is going, and I'm observing. And so I've taken steps to preserve my ability to communicate to the people who want to listen. And I have dozens of extra YouTube channels. I'm everywhere because I refuse to give up any space. I'm not going to be pushed off the edge. I'm just going to expand. And that's what this network's about. So I'm really happy that you got on board. A lot of people are. Because now with you, John LeBon, and a few others, we're consolidating, I think, some of the best content creators on the internet today over there at the network. So for anybody listening, if you go to darkmatter.radio, there's going to be a bio page set up with Fakeologist. It'll send you to all the relevant links. And then, of course, anytime you go live, we can more than likely mirror on the network. It has a 24/7 listenership. Mm-hmm. It's been around for a few years now. But yeah, we're definitely taking it in this direction. So again, I want to say thanks for joining today and telling everybody about your channel and becoming a part of this thing.
Sure. I don't really have a regular broadcast time. One of the things that I do like about the decentralized internet is everything is on demand. I think that lots of people consume on demand. They don't like to be held hostage to appointment radio or appointment television or video. I really like that, and I like the ability to go on whenever I feel like it, whenever I can get a guest that's interesting and coordinate a time, because you can do that anytime, anywhere. So I don't, even though I really like the live interaction in the chat and perhaps phone calls, because I could take phone calls too on my setup. Unless I am going to do it really super consistently, which is difficult, at the most part, I really like being able to just go, okay, I have a guest, I can go live. And that's the other reason I like having my own platform, because I control all the emails. So for instance, if they sign up at fakeologist.com, if you email me, I can set up an account for you, and you can set up your own account at FakeoTube. And then when I go live, you'll get an email notification. Hey, that's something YouTube doesn't even do anymore. They don't send out emails. So I can do that. I know you do that with Patreon, which is another way. But it's Patreon, again, they're not, they could go away at any time or decide to cut you off at any time. So that's why.
Oh, yeah, look. Mm-hmm. You can't even put the word QAnon in a Patreon post.
Oh, okay.
They will cut you. So I'm very careful there. But you made a great point here about the decentralized nature of it. I saw this headline. I think it said something like, podcasting killed the radio star.
Sure.
And that's certainly true. I've always been so, not erratic, but so busy. I just can't be held hostage. I have to be able to listen to something at my own pace. Mm-hmm. So what we do with the network is, yeah, we record whenever. This is for Dark Matter After Midnight, so this has a very specific time slot for the replays.
Okay.
So anytime you record, it'll just broadcast at the same time every night, live or not. But so we have sort of the traditional organization, but I'm definitely configured for a network of podcasters doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to go live, would I contact you, or how would that work? If I said, okay, I'm going live, but would I go live on your network at that time? It would normally be at this time of night in the evening, Eastern time, 8 p.m. evening. That's my normal time slot, sort of right. Sunday to Thursday.
Well, I have a dedicated, basically it's a board computer, a little laptop here. So if you want to go live, all I would do is I would mirror your radio stream through mine, or I could give you the direct key. Either way, it's as simple as I push a button and then you take over whatever was there in that slot. So if it was a previous, like this conversation. So yeah, it's a very simple, streamlined process, and it's working out great so far. John LeBond just had his fourth program, two pilots, but second episode of Apostasy was today.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Well, I would maybe just give you a heads up, or you're on my email list. If you're not, actually, I should add your email to fakeologist.com/blog. And that way I usually send out my own email blast, and then you'd get it. And if you wanted to hook up and just start, and you press, I'd rather you press the button, because I have enough buttons to press here. Then you could, if you wanted to, you could stream it live. That's fine.
And then what I do, we've got a pretty good social media network following between all the Facebooks and Twitters, and we blast it out. And yeah, hopefully we basically bring a lot more people to these ideas, because this is way beyond all the rehashed sideshow conspiracy theories. You're actually doing analysis. So again, appreciate you coming on board here. And I'm going to send a link to everybody on the mailing list to check out your site. And then I'm setting up a page at darkmatter.radio. And so if somebody wants to join your site, do they just go and join your mailing list? Is there a membership there?
Well, the easiest way, the easiest way is to join my Discord. By the way, my Discord was taken down 2 weeks ago. Well, maybe it was a month ago. There was a Discord purge. I don't know if you got taken down at the same time, but my entire Discord was canceled and my account was frozen. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to set it up again, because it does take a little bit of effort to put all the channels together and whatnot. So luckily, two of my members, Velicent and Benoit, they recreated it with their own account and my permission. So they recreated it. So it seems like it's just a colorful, easy-to-use platform that people really like. So if they want to join my server there, it's fake11.com/Discord. And we just do, the moderators will just make sure you're in the right place by doing a little voice verification. Usually, I believe they do a voice verification where they just hear your voice, make sure you're not a bot, and then you're in. And then I just ask people if they want, give me your email address or an email address, and then I plug it into the main blog, fakeologist.com, and then you'll be able to post over there. And unfortunately, none of these accounts are integrated, so I just prefer people use the same username. But they can also go to fakeotube.com if they want to, because I'm gonna stream mainly my screen. There's really nothing to show, really, on fakeotube.com, which will show the live stream on that platform as well, if you want to listen that way. Otherwise, you can just listen to my audio stream. I have a 24/7 audio stream at fake11.com/stream1 or stream2. We also have an audio chat where people, it's actually a fantastic resource where we get regular voices and new voices come and just tell their story or tell their, just give their commentary on what's going on. And it has regular people, but anyone is welcome. We really like new voices, and we record whenever there's enough people. So people just show up and we record, and it is broadcast live around the world at fake11.com/stream2. That is an audio chat where people just talk, regular people, about the psyops of the day. And there's a regular show Saturday morning at 5 in the morning because that's late Saturday night in Australia, and we have Australians that hang out once a week. And that's a pretty interesting show. So yeah, there's lots of content, and it's all on the value for value model, where there's no membership fee. You just pay whatever you want, whatever amount you want, for whatever value you think it's worth. But we don't have any paywalls because I want to make it as simple as possible to access the data. There's no membership. It's just you feel you got value, pay whatever you think it's worth. I think that's the best method.
Awesome.
I think it's the best method.
I agree with that. I think it's important just to bring the network in and not exclude anybody. Mm-hmm. I like the freemium method. You like with John LeBond, you listen for the first hour mm-hmm. or many of these podcasts, and then you go to their site if you want the rest. But yeah, I'm trying to consolidate. I think that it's great to have a lot of minds actively parsing stuff, because some of these big hoaxes, some of these things take so many different perspectives to actually put the puzzle together.
Sure.
In a decent amount of time. So again, I'm putting a link to your site in the chat. We'll do this again soon.
Okay, great.
And I'll send you an email so you can add me to your mailing list. And I'll suggest everybody else does too, because even if they kill all of our platforms, if you have the mailing list, it'll be very easy to reconstitute and get back to the
streams. Well, yeah, but some of my, they can, listen, every method can be blocked. I get bounced, my emails get bounced from Comcast right now. So if you're going to give me a Comcast email, my emails won't make it through to you probably, because what they do is the big servers will go to an email reputation service. And they probably own those services too. So if you are broadcasting from an IP that is blacklisted, the people on that email server won't get your emails. So I haven't been blacklisted by the big boys yet, but Comcast is a pretty big concern in the United States at least. So if you give me a Comcast email, you're not going to get an email from me. So you might have to go sign up at Proton Mail or one of the other servers that maybe aren't blacklisting me. And if it's just like anything else, if I want to go appeal my censorship, then that's a whole process that I don't really want to deal with. So yeah, it might be down to you need my IP at the end when they blacklist fakeologist.com. That'll happen too. I can guarantee it.
That's one of the reasons why I like the term fakeologist. We make up so many terms. Mm-hmm. We have to come up with new ways to describe things, terms that they didn't give us. And I think it's very important, because even if they are able to destroy everything we've done here, we have created a culture with a lexicon that is able to understand and reconstitute itself. But again, what we're looking at, I think, into the future, I'm not so optimistic, especially as the Mars program approaches, and we'll see. I kind of thought that 2020 was a litmus test and people broadly failed for the most part, but we'll see. So do you have any sort of optimism about 2021?
No.
For your own?
No, not really. I think it's just, we're just going to keep marching on to the one world centralized capitalist on top, communist on bottom China approach. The China class is already in control of the United States right now, and that is the corporate and governmental elite that are in lockstep with the Chinese model. That's where they want to take everything. I don't see any turning back. I just see things getting worse. I'm sorry to say I don't have any good, and no good news from this point of view at the moment. There's nothing inspirational. We've run out of hopium right now. I don't see.
Right. I heard there's a batch. I heard it's bad, but there's a batch of hopium going around that's keeping the QAnoners on the hook until March the 4th. But after that, I don't think there's any more hopium left in the world.
Yes, the March 4th. I think that'll come and go as well. Which really, it does suck. I have to admit, it does suck. But
Hey, let me run this by you really quick.
Sure.
I Can't Breathe, which last year, I Can't Breathe was the meme of the year. George Floyd, 5G towers supposedly sucking the oxygen out of people. And then you have the mask makes it hard to breathe. And then you had George Floyd being knelt on. That phrase, I Can't Breathe, happens to be an anagram for a better China, which I thought was just an interesting little coincidence or side note. But now, I Can't Breathe, a better China, and now Build Back Better.
Yeah, BBB.
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. Integrated PSYOP with a little bit of Easter eggs thrown in for the observers who know what's going on, I guess.
Yeah, and the trial was supposed to be on 9/11 last year. Whatever happened with that? Was it put over or the George Floyd?
They had a hearing.
Is it
they
just
had a
over?
Hearing on 9/11. No, actually, he's on bail, and I think the trial is going to come up next month. So that's going to be big. That's going to be big because they're going to say he did it according to the book, and the fact that he was so calm works in his favor because it wasn't a crime of passion. So, no, there's when the weather warms up, the rioters will be out in the streets.
Oh, right, yeah. No, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, it's all of North America is still under a bit of a deep freeze. So, yeah, I guess they'll just recreate the same old stories again when the weather warms up. That makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they put him down for the winter, but, yeah, it'll be there. So I'm expecting it. Definitely, it's just like it's the next season in this reality show. Last year, I think, was also typified by the Purge series. I mean, we lived through so many movies last year. The existence of predictive programming is no longer a conspiracy theory. It's just how media works. I think we're just calling it. But, okay, so okay. I'm going through comments, see if anybody has any final anything for you. And it looks like a number of people are saying thanks for joining. Let's see. Somebody's asking, okay, here we go. Dave Hoaxman says, thank you, IPS and Fakeologist.
Thank you. Yeah, it's always good to talk to you. I have to admit, there's so much content out there. It's hard for me to keep up to your daily schedule, so I've fallen behind. You must agree that the amount of content creation out there is off the charts. There's a lot of new voices, what seem to be regular people, just all over the place. And sometimes I just change my focus on Canada where I live because it's a little more relevant. But the content's crazy right now. Just so much of it.
It is. And that's why I like reaching out to people who are in different areas so we can know, because it's just not the same. It's not uniform everywhere. The methodology is the same, but it's at different stages. And
yeah.
And so, yeah, definitely.
We
definitely
might be ahead of you in Canada because Canada is way more compliant. But if you want to look to the north, that's what they're going to bring, at least here in northern states. I really see an integration with the northern states, which have more in common with Canada, including the weather. I really see a Mason-Dixon line forming again in the United States. Not to mention the mega regions. I don't know if we talked about America 2050, which is the redrawing of the American borders, but that's totally relevant. Totally very important.
I have not talked about that with you or heard about it, but I will look into it because, well, everything that they say they're going to do, they do. Mm-hmm. And it seems like everything, I mean, Dark Winter was an exercise. The COVID-19 was an exercise. These are all things that they prepare for in advance. They rehearse. So if they're talking about 2050, that'll be after we've all been vaxxed, neutered, and the skies will be black, mm-hmm. I imagine.
Yeah, America 2050 is a very real plan. Every area of the world has a 2050 plan, and if you want to see the North American map, the Rockefeller lockstep style NGO think tank plan for North America, just look up America 2050. You'll see the map and how they envision it. Just like Greater Israel, that's the plan for the Middle East, right from the Mediterranean to Persia. Africa, the reorganization of Africa, and I think the world central hub will be China. China is just The amount of resource and rebuilding and redirection to China is just crazy. Even our own country, we have Chinese corporations in Canada just draining our resources and just sending them off to China. They're doing things undercover that haven't even been approved. I don't think it's happening in the U.S. in the same way, but here in Canada, as around the world, China is in every country.
I saw a meme today. It had the COVID virus, and it said that this is the longest anything ever made in China has lasted. You know, I mean, I don't really believe it's a Chinese virus, like they say, but anyway.
Well, it's a Chinese plan. It's a Chinese model, and who is behind China? It's the same old people. It's the Anglo-American Empire. They're just in China. They just moved their operations to China.
Well, I saw this coming. I have to say, PNAC, they said that this was going to be the Chinese century, mm-hmm. and they also mentioned yes. space wars. So expect space wars, too. And I brought up earlier this incident a couple of days ago where some engine parts were falling from airplanes. I brought that up because I think that the public is being prepared for space wars and stuff falling from the sky.
I didn't quite understand the angle. I know there was a story in the media about pieces of planes falling out, but I didn't really look into it.
Well, at first I was going to ignore it, but then I thought there was like two different instances that happened 4 hours apart on the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this looks like a template thing, kind of like after Floyd, you had others being kneeled on the neck in the same mm-hmm. way in other parts of the world. And I thought, well, what could be the agenda? And then I see a commercial on NBC for a show called Debris. And then I see Leonardo DiCaprio in a movie that's coming up called Don't Look Up about asteroids. So look at this. All is integrated, you know, entertainment and the news. And if they have stuff falling from the sky, I suspect it's to prepare us for space junk Armageddon, possibly coming soon. Mandatory helmets to go with your mask.
Okay. Yeah, I don't quite get the I still don't see what they're getting at unless they're just trying to promote the idea of space, which as the song you used to play all the time, space is fake for sure.
Right, exactly. My thinking, space is a new warfighting domain, and that it's just another area where they have a global threat: climate change, viruses, and now debris. And this is why every other day they tell us there's an asteroid coming. And how can they still tell us the straight face that we're about to get hit by a space rock when they've been wrong every single time since, well, the dinosaur one 66 million years ago?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, hey, all this right. has been an interesting talk as usual. So yes. we'll be in touch, and I'll put everybody on in the mailing list in touch with you on your site. Maybe check it out and get on your mailing list.
Great.
So thanks again. Have a great evening.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Take care.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.